As I mentioned before, although we are redeemed, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can grieve Him. When you trust in other things, when you trust in yourself, when you trust in your own wisdom, when you trust in mankind, you're committing idolatry. When you don't trust fully in Jesus, you're committing idolatry. Friendship with the world is hostility towards God.
Thanks for joining us for this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, give us a preview of what we'll see today.
I'd be glad to, Dave. You see, today we're concluding our look at Ezekiel chapter 6, and this is a chapter that we need to understand rightly, so let's pay attention. So turn your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 6 as we begin our time in the Word.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address again is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Do not listen. They are leading you into futility. They speak a vision of their own imagination, not from the mouth of the Lord. They keep saying to those who despise me, this is happening here in all kinds of churches this morning. The Lord has said, you will have peace. For everyone who walks in the stillness of his own heart, they say, calamity will not come upon you. That's the message of these churches. But who has stood in the counsel of the Lord that he should see and hear his word? Who has given heed to his word and listened? Behold, the storm of the Lord has gone forth in wrath, even a whirling tempest. It will swirl down on the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has performed and carried out the purposes of his heart. In the last days, you will clearly understand it. Today, we have the same permeators and purveyors of lies in the so-called churches these days that speak of nothing of God's judgment or need for repentance. God is gracious, and he is patient, not willing for any to perish. But to understand the grace of God, it is not that we can sin it up. It is that God's grace brought forth his son Jesus, who died for our sins. And when we recognize how wretched and sinful we are, and we turn to him to be delivered from the wrath to come, we are saved. God is patient. But the day of the Lord will come. You can read 2 Peter. Peter says, know this first of all, that last is mockers will come with their mockers falling after their own lusts. 2 Peter 3. They're going to come and say, where's the promise of his coming in judgment? Quote, that's what they're saying. Everything's been the same since the creation. But it escapes their notice that God once destroyed the earth with water by his word. And by his word, he's going to bring his judgment again. That the day of the Lord will come. 2 Peter chapter 3. But the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, 2 Peter 3, 9, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. That's a gracious God. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking for and hasting, this is 2 Peter 3, 12, hasting the coming of the day of God, on account of which the heavens will be destroyed with burning and the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to his promise, we are looking for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, in regard to the patience of our Lord to be salvation. So then, there's a day, just as with Israel, where God's patience will run out and he will judge man for their sin. This day will come when Christ again comes in judgment, for his appointed man wants to die and then in judgment. Either you die in your sins, and are judged, or he comes in his judgment and you die as he judges the earth, and then you enter into eternal judgment. So then back to our passage. What's the result for the house of Israel? Verse 7, chapter 6. And the slain will fall among you, and you will know that I am the Lord. Again, this basic phrase repeated 63 times in Ezekiel, and you will know that I am the Lord. God will make himself known that he is the Lord, that he is Yahweh, the great I am. He is the self-existent one. He is the Lord of all. And there are two ways in Scripture in which we recognize that, and that God makes himself known as Lord, that Christ is Lord. First is revealed through the gospel of grace, the first coming of Jesus Christ when he paid the penalty for our sins on the cross. And if you trust in him, you receive the forgiveness of sins and you will know he's Lord. But from the forgiven side, from a side that desires to bow a knee before him and praise him for who he is and what he's done. You'll know he's Lord. When you come to faith in Jesus, you'll know he's Lord. Praise the Lord. But there's one other way that mankind learns that he is Lord, and it is through judgment. You see, man can reject the Lord all their life, every single day, but when they are judged, they will know that he is the Lord. And the slain will fall among you, and you will know that I am the Lord, he says in verse 7. So let me ask you this question. Is Jesus Christ your Lord? Do you know he's the Lord? Are you living in submission to him and his word? Some people are in submission to their idol. They've named Jesus with a few verses, but they don't believe what he says. If you're in submission to him, you're going to submit to his word. Jesus would say in Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? Obvious question. These Israelites who would be slain at these altars would have said, the Lord is their God, the God of Israel. Would have said that. But someday everyone will bow a knee. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Everyone will. You can live in rebellion all your life, but someday you'll know he's Lord. Someday you'll declare he's Lord to the glory of the Father. You can do it now willingly and freely and joyously. Or you can do it in the context of eternal punishment. Your choice. Philippians 2, verse 5. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, and being found the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, or Jesus' name, the name he possesses, every knee should bow of those who are in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. You see, you can voluntarily acknowledge him now, or you will when you are judged. You see, God demonstrates his love for us that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Turn to Jesus. Get your sins forgiven. You'll see him as Lord. Trust him. Believe in him. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So we see back in our passage, Israel's idolatry brings his wrath, but yet in the midst of wrath, we see this all throughout Scripture, there is mercy. There is mercy. Look at this. A remnant is spared. Verse 8. However, I shall leave a remnant, for you will have those who escaped the sword among the nations when you are scattered among the countries. God's tremendous grace. He says, I shall leave a remnant. That's a small amount. A small amount that remains. They're the ones who are going to escape and be scattered among the countries. And I think this prefigures what would happen in 70 AD when Israel would reject their Messiah, and then God would bring his discipline again, and they'd be scattered among the nations, but there is a remnant. Romans 9:27, as Isaiah cries out concerning Israel, though the number of the sons of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, it is a remnant that will be saved. For the Lord will execute his word on earth thoroughly and quickly, and just as Isaiah foretold, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a posterity, we would have become as Sodom and resembled Gomorrah. He didn't wipe them out completely. He left a remnant to be saved, by the way. In the midst of this horrifying judgment, he's going to leave a remnant. And let's not forget, the book of Ezekiel 40 through 48 ends in hope. Let's not forget that. So what does he do with this remnant? Notice first, I believe they were spared to remember their sin. Then those of you who escape will remember, verse 9, me among the nations to which they will be carried captive, how I have been hurt by their adulterous hearts which turned away from me, and by their eyes which played the harlot after their idols, and they will loathe themselves in their sight for the evils which they have committed, for all their abominations." This is amazing. This gives us a glimpse of the pain that God feels when we sin against Him. He's saying, among the nations where they've been carried captive, they're going to remember Him. They're going to remember me among the nations which they've been carried. And notice what they're going to remember. Two things. First of all, how I have been hurt by their adulterous hearts which turned away from me. The term hurt here speaks of being broken or shattered. I don't know if we think of God that much. We say, that's a sin against God. God is a person, the person of the living God. And we sin against God and He is hurt. We see in Ephesians chapter 4 that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. I don't think we think that much about who we're sinning. We recognize we hurt people with our sin. We know that. But do we recognize we hurt Him? He says, I've been hurt. I've been hurt. I've been shattered. My heart was shattered. You can literally say it that way. What an amazing God we have. What a gracious God. His heart was shattered because of their adulterous hearts. He chose them as a small nation. He redeemed them from Egypt. He gave them His word. And they continually committed adultery against Him with their idols. And His heart was broken. His heart was also shattered, middle of nine, by their eyes, which played the harlot after their idols. Lust of the eyes. Brothers and sisters, we have a window into the heart of God who was heartbroken over their idolatry, who is hurt. And here we see the remnant will be saved and spared to recognize this. End of nine. And they will loathe themselves. That means not think too good of yourself, okay? You're going to think horribly of yourself. They'll loathe themselves in their own sight. Why? For their evils which they have committed. It's not a repentance like Esau or like we see a worldly sorrow. They're loathing themselves for what they've done, what they've committed for all their abominations. Then they would remember the Lord. You see, the loathe speaks of utter disgust. And I hope you're that way. When you fail, you're utterly disgusted at yourself that you did it. Disgusted that I did it. Please forgive me. And He does forgive us. But we need to have that disgust. We need to see sin from His perspective. We've sinned against Him. And as I mentioned before, although we are redeemed, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can grieve Him. When you trust in other things, when you trust in yourself, when you trust in your own wisdom, or you trust in mankind, you're committing idolatry. When you don't trust fully in Jesus, you're committing idolatry. Friendship for the world is hostility towards God. We need to loathe those attitudes. So notice, they're spared to know Him. Verse 10, then they will know that I'm the Lord. This is in the context of repentance. A heart that is convicted over sin and turning to the Lord. We sinned against You, O Lord. I have not said in vain that I would inflict this disaster on them. Now this term, I've said that not in vain, I've said, could go with this verse or with the verse afterwards. It appears that it goes certainly with this. He inflicted the disaster on them, but it wasn't in vain. There were some that got saved. God is gracious to spare a remnant. Some of you say you follow the Lord. You say you love Jesus, yet you worship an idolatrous altar of relativism and self-sufficiency. You're worldly and you go to worldly churches and now disaster has come upon you and you've been spared. Something deadly, maybe an illness or a car wreck, maybe something very deadly has come upon you. Could it be that God has done this that you might be humbled and see your sin against Him and mourn and be saved? Notice as we continue, we see for certain the time of God's wrath has come. Thus says the Lord God, clap your hand, stamp your foot, and say, alas, because of all the evil abominations of the house of Israel, which will fall by the sword, famine, and plague. So Ezekiel is to clap his hands and stomp his feet, which gives emphasis to what he's saying. Alas, because of all the evil abominations of the house of Israel, which will fall by sword, famine, and plague. Here's the reason reiterated. Because of all the evil abominations. Remember what we saw back in chapter 5, verse 11. Chapter 5, verse 11. Look at that. So as I live, declares the Lord God, surely because you have defiled my sanctuary with all your detestable idols and all your abominations, I will also withdraw, and my eye will shall have no pity, and I will not spare. One third of you will die by plague or be consumed by famine. Among you, one third will fall by the sword around you, and the other third I will scatter to every wind. and I will unsheathe the sword behind them. Thus my anger will be spent, and I will satisfy my wrath on them. I shall be appeased. Then they will know that I, the Lord, have spoken in my zeal when I have spent my wrath upon them. And you look down at verse 17, chapter 5. Moreover, I will send famine and wild beasts, and they'll bereave you of your children. Plague and bloodshed also pass through you, and I will bring the sword on you. I, the Lord, have spoken. All because of their abominations. Verse 11, because of the abominations of the house of Israel, which will fall by sword, famine, and plague. Sword, obviously we understand what that is. Through Babylon, which would come through the sword. We also understand what famine would look like, as we saw that last week. We also know what plague is. Plague is pestilence. It speaks of a fatal, wasting disease. So notice, continuing verse 12, God's wrath will be spent. Verse 12, he who is far off will die by the plague, he who is near will fall by the sword, and he who remains and is besieged will die by the famine. Thus I shall spend my wrath on them. Deuteronomy 28 made it clear that if Israel disobeyed, there would be sword, there would be famine, and there would be plague. You can read that, Deuteronomy 28. So let's go there, Deuteronomy 28 again, let's go there. And I want to start in verse 45. God has declared exactly how their judgment would come. And God has declared the same thing for mankind. They reject Jesus. Exactly how their judgment will come. What will happen? Deuteronomy 28:45. So all the curses shall come upon you and pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed. And here you go. Because you would not obey the Lord your God by keeping his commandments and his statutes which he commanded you. And they shall become a sign and wonder on you and your descendants forever. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and a glad heart for the abundance of all things. Therefore you shall serve your enemies, whom the Lord shall send against you, in hunger and thirst and nakedness, the lack of all things. He will put an iron yoke on your neck until he has destroyed you. The Lord will bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, as an eagle swoops down, a nation whose language you shall not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, who shall have no respect for the old, nor show favor to the young. And we're going to see that. Moreover, we're going to see that nation come down there with the sword, right? Babylon. Moreover, it shall eat the offspring of your herd and the produce of your ground until you are destroyed, who also leaves you no grain, new wine, or oil, and the increase of your herd or the young of your flock until they cause you to perish. That's famine. If you're not careful to observe the words of the law which is written in this book, to fear this honored and awesome name of the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring extraordinary plague. There you go, plagues on you and your descendants. Even a severe lasting plague and misery and chronic sickness. And he shall bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt which you were afraid, and they shall cling to you. And every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, the Lord will bring on you until you are destroyed. Sword, famine, and plague. And he says back in our passage, the end of verse 12, thus I shall spend my wrath on them. This is no joke. God is a patient, loving, gracious God, and his heart is broken and hurt. And in his righteous judgment, he is pouring out his wrath upon idolatrous Israel as his patience has ran out. For those of you here who have not repented of your sin, not trusted in Jesus Christ for salvation, who have not called upon the Lord to be saved, it's possible God's patience may run out on you today. If you die today, you will die in your sins. It is appointed once to die and then the judgment. And then there's the second death, the lake of fire, punishment forever. But God's a gracious God. Today's the day of salvation. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I believe you died for my sins. I believe you rose from the dead. Lord, I have sinned against you. Please save me. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Confess your adulterous heart. You've run after other things in this life and serve them. So what's the result of God's great wrath? Then the exiles are going to know him also. Look at this, verse 13. Then you will know that I am the Lord when their slain are among their idols and around their altars and on every high hill and on the tops of the mountains and under every green tree and under every leafy oak, the places where they offered soothing aroma to all their idols. He's saying, you're going to know that I'm the Lord when I judge them. You're going to know. This is the exiles. When they hear and see what actually happened. The house of Israel, they're going to know. These exiles. After the exiles see God's wrath pouring out on those in Israel, slain among their idols and altars, then they will know that he is the Lord. Maybe you're playing games with God. Maybe there's been a tragedy to you or around you and you've been spared. Could it be the Lord wants you to know that he is the Lord? Now notice, the house of Israel will also know him through judgments. Verse 14, so throughout all their habitations I shall stretch out my hand against them and make the land more desolate and waste in the wilderness towards Diblah. Thus they will know I'm the Lord. They're going to know. They're going to know through judgment. It says, going to make the land more desolate and waste than the wilderness of Diblah. Now, I wouldn't go to Diblah on vacation. Doesn't sound very good. We don't know where this place is, but evidently it was a wasteland. And they knew it was a wasteland. He's saying, I'm going to make Israel, he's saying here, their habitations more desolate. He's going to destroy it, and he's going to make it desolate. Then they will know that I'm the Lord. This phrase again repeated throughout this book. Again, I've mentioned this. God makes himself known as the Lord two ways, through salvation in Jesus Christ the Lord, or through judgment. And God has appointed all judgment to the Son. He has fixed a day in which he will judge the world through a man whom he furnished proof by raising him from the dead. Therefore, he's declaring to all men everywhere to repent, right? So then, we see those in whom the Lord stretches his hand out against will know that he is the Lord. And yet there's a gracious remnant that are spared, that acknowledge their sin and how they have hurt the Lord. Have you ever done that? I'm not saying you have some formula, but have you recognized that you have sinned against the living God? And he's hurt? You've sinned against him? Turn to him. The same God died for your sins. He paid the full price, and he loves you. If you believe in him, you'll be saved. And then for those of us who are believers, do we recognize when we sin, we hurt the Lord, we grieve his spirit? We need to think a little more about who our Lord is and what our actions do to him. So then, little children, guard yourself from idols. Is there anything that you are trusting in other than the Lord? Have you joined into the world's way of worshiping God and gods? Have you joined that to the worship of the Lord? What can we learn here? We're not Israel? Yep, we're not Israel. But you need to repent because God's wrath is coming. You're not saved. And if you're saved, you need to recognize that we can hurt our God and we do hurt him with our sin.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org.
Friend, before we close today's broadcast, I want to talk to you directly about your eternal destiny. If you were to die right now, do you know where you would spend eternity? If you're unsure, here are some important questions to answer. Do you believe that you are a sinner in need of forgiveness? That you've sinned against a holy God? Do you believe that you are unable to do anything about your sinful condition? Do you believe that Jesus is God, that he took on human flesh, that he came and lived the sinless life and went to the cross and died for your sins? He was buried and rose from the dead 3 days later. Do you believe that his work on the cross was sufficient to forgive you of your sins? Are you willing to acknowledge that until you repent of your sins and turn to the Lord Jesus to save you, that you deserve hell and will be sent there? If you believe these things and want to receive Jesus' offer of eternal salvation, then you need to turn to him and ask him. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Father, I thank you so much for your word and your son Jesus. And I pray for those listening today who do not know you, who still are in their sins, that they would turn from their sin and trust in your son Jesus Christ for salvation,
that they would be saved. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your son, and it is in his name we pray.
If you've taken that eternally important step, we'd love to come alongside you in your new relationship with Christ. So would you take a moment and contact us? We'd like to send you our new believers packet. In that packet, you'll find a message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt, some helpful Bible study tools, and a Bible. It's our gift to you to help you in your new relationship with Christ. You can request your new believers packet online at etsradio.org, or if you prefer, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And from all of us at Equipping the Saints, welcome to the family.